You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson. And we just played you a little snippet earlier of our interview with Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow. But there's a little bit more meat on that bone from yesterday from the Jimmy Fund Telethon. And one of the questions, which apparently was controversial with Ted, because he thought I was asking career crossroads questions again, was sort of at the end of the interview, which I did there. We kind of pussyfooted through it for a little bit before we got to the meat and potatoes. Asking him if, like the rest of us, he looks back on the trade deadline as the ebbs and flows of the season unfold with maybe some doubt or regret.
You know how sports talk radio works. We have.
You told me you guys were an easy audience. Hold on.
We have. Here it comes.
Well, it's gone well so far, right?
Yeah, here it comes. Here it comes. Is right. No, you know, we have 4 hours every day, and we watch a baseball game, and we react to it. And part of the reaction from us or the fan base might be looking back to the trade deadline, what coulda, shoulda, woulda happened there. Do you do that? Do you look back to the trade deadline and say what coulda, shoulda, even if it's in the shower, I don't know, regret after the game, the ride home, do you look back and look at it a certain way?
Well, I think it's natural to replay decisions and right. opportunities and think about how you may have approached them differently. And that's not to say that you aren't also happy with an outcome, right? We've got Dustin Main, you know, you said he's two really good starts in back-to-back outings, and Steven Matz has been really good for us out of the pen. But of course, you kind of play these situations out and you think about, you know, what you could have done differently. And maybe sometimes the answer is nothing, but other times, you hope that there's something that you can learn so that when you're in this position again, you can achieve the desired outcome there.
Way to make it weird, Andy.
Why is it awkward? Okay, so first, before we get to the actual answer, I am a big believer, I know for myself personally, the two places I think the most are in the shower or in the car. Those are the two places I think the most because I'm sort of by my... Oh, yeah. Let me add a third.
I was going to say.
Lawnmower.
The dumper. Oh.
No. No, because usually I'm on my phone and I'm distracted. When I'm in the shower, I don't have a phone. So I'm just like focused on scrubbing my head, and while I'm scrubbing... Stiz, why are you looking at me weird like I don't have a phone in the shower? Like
if it's in the shower.
Yeah, everybody thinks in the shower.
I put the phone in the shower all the time.
Wait, I've heard people do this and what? I'm like, wait, really?
What do you mean you put the phone in the shower? Like to watch, to listen?
To listen.
What do you listen to?
I listen to the shows.
Really? Now, wait, Ted, is your phone legit
in the shower? My phone is in the shower, yes.
I have like a Bluetooth speaker, next so my phone's like on the sink.
Right next to the shampoo.
So you're listening to like the Greg Hill show or
yep.
Jones and Keefe in the shower.
Yes,
you?
I am.
That's not weird, boys. He's showering with Jones and Keefe.
No, you want to know why? Because he didn't ask the question in the middle of the Jimmy Fund radio telethon in front of 50 people.
But if it's in the shower...
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we all realized I don't really have a filter sometimes.
I like after you asked him about regretting decisions you made at the trade deadline, and he gives you, Steven Matz and Dustin May are doing pretty good.
Right. Well, he wanted to say, not that it means you regret the decision you made, but everybody naturally thinks about it. No, usually when you spend a lot of time on it, it's because you regret the decision.
If he's given an honest answer, he'd probably say, you know what? If he really gives get out, he would say, yeah, I screwed this trade deadline up.
Absolutely.
I overplayed my hand. I was too confident. And I have a lot to learn because I could have gotten Joe Ryan, and I didn't. I will learn from my mistake and do better next time.
Well, I think it's natural.
It's at this career crossroads of mine that I'm in. Fitzy.
Career crossroads.
But it's a fluid situation. Like the previous answer we played, if they bring up Peyton Tolley, and let's just say Peyton Tolley makes like 7 appearances out of the bullpen, has an ERA of 0.3, is striking people out, and we're like, oh,
talk to me. Yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing that he didn't include him in a trade for Joe Ryan. And that helps them secure the top wild card spot. And they go on to do whatever they do. So, like, this come, you know, there's a timeline here of maybe regret. Yep. Oh, now I'm happy I didn't do it. So I'm not, Fitzy, I'm not closing the door on the trade deadline. We have to wait till the end of the season to really assess what happens, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, could Peyton Tolley knock in a base runner or get a hit with the bases loaded in 3 consecutive innings last night? They did nothing to it. Literally did nothing to address the offense at the trade deadline. Nothing. Well, Abraham Toro's batting like 120 over the past month. You're running out guys that are just cooked, done, and have outplayed their service time this year. There's a reason why they're super subs and fill-ins, and we're grateful for everything they contributed. But like, you can't literally go against the Yankees or then try to expect to be a serious playoff contender with Romy Gonzalez and Abraham Toro in your lineup, can you?
It is kind of funny that you're about to kick off a series with the Yankees coming off 9 home runs where on any given night, Stanton could hit 2, Judge could hit 2, they could hit 5 between them, and sure. You're like,
yeah. Goldschmidt will be mashing. Why not?
Yoshida hits the ball past the infield every once in a while as our DH. But another question we asked Craig Breslow was, with the trade deadline in the rearview mirror, and just a refresher, we no longer have those days of the waiver wire trade deadline, right, which actually used to be a thing.
I miss those.
I kind of miss those too.
I do too.
That's how that big Josh Beckett trade ended up happening with the Dodgers.
Yeah, bring that back. Why did they get rid of that?
That's how my Astros got Verlander.
Yeah.
To like, win in 17.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know why they got rid of that.
Franchise saver that trade was.
Either push the trade deadline back a little bit naturally or bring the waiver, something, do that. But anyway, we asked him, what can be done? Are there still moves and things that can be done to help this Red Sox baseball team?
How much work is there to be done, even on your part? I know the trade deadline has passed, but how does that work come about for you over the next month plus?
Yeah, a few things. So, right, we're constrained in terms of how we can add players given that the deadline has passed, but we feel like we've got a deep farm system and there are guys at the upper levels that are capable of helping us down the stretch. So we want to make sure that we're optimizing the roster, that our bullpen is always fresh, that if we're going to face a string of left-handed pitchers, we've got right-handed bats that are ready to step in. And so, you know, I think there's work to do from that regard to make sure that we're giving Alex and the team as many fresh pieces as we possibly can, as many like versatile and flexible pieces as we can to give ourselves the best chance of winning. And then there's support that we can offer in terms of information and advance reports. And, you know, we're not going to be able to make wholesale changes to the roster or to players right now, but we can do everything possible to support them.
Words.
Oh, my God. I got a headache listening to that.
Give Alex information on the center fielder for your
impact
opponent.
Impact arm, so impact don't run arm. On him.
That's basically what they're...
100%.
They're scouting the opponent and telling, you know, Alex what to do before the series even starts in any situation. Here's what you know, a game plan before games even get started.
And the beginning part of that, though, was a little bit of, well, since I didn't make any trades...
Yep.
The farm system's still really deep, so I got some guys I can bring up, like Peyton Tolley or whoever we get into.
Optimizing the roster, that's kind of what they're doing with Brendan Bernardino, right?
Bernardino
fits.
He
needed some rest, so let's go take him down to AAA, get him just a few stars, you know, get him kind of refreshed, bring him back. Yep. That's kind of what he means.
Cooper Criswell will come back. Like, they'll move arms around. Yep. Now, I don't know that I love that idea, this, like, micromanaging of based on the other team's lineup and who's tired.
This is what they get off to, bro.
Yeah, they may get off to it. You know who else I think gets off to it? The opposing team, because they win. They beat you. They're better. They have guys that they just bring out there night in and night out and know who's going to do the job instead of some Lumerlone Express from Worcester instead of Pawtucket. It seems flawed, Fitzy. Seems flawed. This is why I, in my three-point stance, pushed the P button, the panic button.
Listen, if you are 3-7 in your last 10, 4-8 over your last 12, and playing some of your worst baseball since the middle of the spring as you head into inarguably the most important series of the year, your finger should be near the button that's big red and says PANIC on it.
Yeah. We actually need to get one of those in here. Bob Lobel used to have.
Moby's got one.
Yeah, I need one.
He's still got his old one. I'll ask if I can borrow
it. Ask him if we can borrow it, because we need to push it already.
I don't know if you'd use it properly, though. You can't unpanic it the next day.
Oh, yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I'm a little Trump-like. I panic, I unpanic, I panic with this direction, panic in that direction.
The wind can't change direction and you unpanic the next day when you hit the panic button.
Anyway, so that was Craig Breslow yesterday. If you want to go back and listen to the whole interview, you can do that on the Audacy app, AUDACY, or you can follow our podcast on iHeart or all the various Spotify, any of the podcast outlets. Yes, Ted Johnson.
Can I give my one little stat nug that I told you in the break?
Yeah, Ted Johnson's been sitting on a stat here that's pretty impressive, boys.
Stat nug.
So the Red Sox, in eighth inning, they have bases loaded, right?
Yes.
Bases loaded, no outs. 3 consecutive strikeouts. Do you know the last time the Red Sox had done that?
Oh, I'm so sick of the first time in 50 years with this team. But
right? That's been happening all year.
Yeah. The last time for them specifically they did
it? Yeah, to do that.
1977.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
Okay.
2008.
Still. 17 years ago.
17 years ago. That's the
last
time.
Whoa. You know what was also 2008? The former record for the Jimmy Fund Telethon.
That's right. It was.
So they were both.
Symmetry.
Broken slash matched in the same night. Wow, sports is a crazy world.
Mind blown.
Speaking of crazy, some thought I was crazy to bring up the shower and Craig Breslow. Well, guess what? It was not the first time a shower has been brought up awkwardly by a Boston media member. Up next in Odds and Ends, we have a little recall of the last time someone who was much more famous and popular than I brought up showers on the radio or television. That's next on WEEI.